This is the Real Royal Family Podcast with your co-host, Valerie Wright. And we're here to take back your crown and the jewels that are on it. The jewels of your life, your joy, and your purpose. Only God's love and power can conquer trauma. Now, this is not virtual reality. It is spiritual reality. It is not a game, but we are going to treat it as a challenge to destroy what is destroying you. And God's word says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Let's get it. Get it. Get it. Thank you for joining us this week. This is your host, Valerie Wright. I am your spiritual Harriet Tubman, and we are on part 6 of Destroy the Destroyer. So thank you for coming back, and thank you that my senior partner and co-host, the Holy Spirit, is here. I am being powered by Holy Ghost power right now because I had a long day at work, but I didn't want to skip another week. So I am healing from some narcissistic discoveries. And as I was teaching you, I was being taken out of the darkness and into the light. So the Holy Spirit talks to you, but he's also teaching me a lot of times. So you are helping me as well as I am helping you. So thank you so much, my Real Royal Family members. So this week on the Real Royal Family, once again, part 6 of Destroy the Destroyer, we are here to destroy the destroyer and take back your crown. So I told you last episode, I said, woo-wee, I have a new weapon for you in the next podcast. So here we are, and here is the weapon. So the principle is a snapshot, because this weapon works like Moses parting the Red Sea. So it is a Red Sea principle, and it's going to take me some time to get to it, because this is how we learn, okay? We learn letters, and then we put the letters together. We learn words, and then we put words together, and we make sentences, and then books, and then kingdoms. And this is how God does what he does. So the principle is, when you declare, I would not do that if I were you. If you have not done releasing the power of the blood every morning and every evening before you go to bed, don't use this. It won't work for you. It will backfire. This works for kingdom citizens who have put in some work to get out of the cage, out of the cave, get the slime that the enemy has put on you to keep you sluggy and sticky and disgusting. And why will this backfire? Because this principle annihilates demons and evil spirits and hybrids from the kingdom of darkness, the ones pulling the puppet strings of humans. Okay, sometimes these are called the sons of Belial, but those are people who know what they are doing. So those sons of Belial, they know what they're doing. They're organized. But there is a thing called blind witches. And we don't want to harm the human being used, but we want to give them a little shock. Just like when you're training a dog. So it's not destructive. It's a warning. Narcissists can be blind witches. It's definitely a demonic spirit. And as I was explaining to someone, narcissists, they do the same exact thing. But the narcissist in Dubai and the narcissist in Pennsylvania and the one in Spain are doing the exact same thing. So they're not going to their meeting every Friday night and exchanging notes. It's a demonic spirit. So what is a blind witch? Blind witches were indoctrinated without their conscious consent. The legality to bind them The reason we can bind blind witches comes from Luke 10:19. So our authority, our legal authority to bind the spirit behind a blind witch comes from Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. So we don't harm the people, but what we do is we let this spirit who is behind the curtain pulling the puppet strings, we let them know that you're in for some trouble, and you're not just going to use this person to try and destroy me so easily. So one of the three sources in God's word talks about is, where does the influence come from? So there are three sources where demonic influence can come from. And so you, my wonderful and beautiful, blessed listeners, you should know this. So guess what? We're going to have a pop quiz. What are the three major doorways darkness uses to defile people? So let's give you 5 seconds and we'll get some thinking music. So what is the answer? What are the three major doorways darkness uses to defile human beings? That is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, of course, you knew that because you listen every week and you really listen to learn, not just for entertainment, right? So just remember, under each of those doorways, there are subdivisions. So I pray you got 100 on that quiz. But what we are going to do, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 in the King James Version. And you hath he quickened. You were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. That's Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 3 in the King James Version. Now we're going to do Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3 in the Amplified. And you, and this is in parentheses, he made alive when you, parenthesized, I'm just going to read it straight through. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, the Amplified. Now remember, the Amplified is, sometimes people joke and call it the multiple choice. That's because they put in parentheses, brackets, extra terms so you can understand what they're meaning at the time. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the Amplified version goes, "And you he made alive when you were spiritually dead and separated from him because of your transgressions and sins, in which you once walked. You were following the ways of this world, influenced by this present age, in accordance with the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedience, the unbelieving who fight against the purposes of God. Among these unbelievers, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. Our behavior governed the sinful self, indulging the desires of human nature without the Holy Spirit and the impulses of the sinful mind. We were by nature children under the sentence of God's wrath, just like the rest of mankind." And that was the Amplified version. And we're going to go to the Passion Translation, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "And this fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm, who fills this atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children, subject to God's wrath, like everybody else. That's Ephesians chapter 2, the Passion Translation. And now we're going to go to the Message and just stay on chapter 1. And this really explains just the first part well. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in the old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which does not know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. That's Ephesians, the Message Bible, chapter 2, verse 1. And then we're going to go to the Contemporary Jewish Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. You used to be dead because of your sins and acts of disobedience. You walked in the ways of Olam Hazeh and obeyed the ruler of the powers of the air, who is still at work among the disobedient. Indeed, we all want to live this way. We follow the passions of our old nature and obey the wishes of our old nature and our own thoughts. In our natural condition, we were headed for God's wrath, just like everyone else. Once again, that's the Contemporary Jewish Bible. That was Ephesians 2, chapters 1 through 3. In the above different translations, the word describes the world as the world, the corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago you lived in religion, customs, and values of this world. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You are following the ways of this world, influenced by this present age and you. He made alive when you were spiritually dead and separated from him because of your transgressions and sins in which you once walked. And for the flesh, these are what the above scriptures say. We followed the passions of our old nature and obeyed the wishes of our old nature and our own thoughts. In our natural condition, we were headed for God's wrath, mired in the old stagnant life of sin, the corruption that was in us from birth. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children subject to God's wrath. And the devil, it says, and obeyed the ruler of the powers of the air, who is still at work among the disobedient, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm, who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient, the truth of God. Okay, so those are the summaries of the world, the flesh, and the devil. So what happens is you have to shut down any voice you hear accusing you. So when you listen to this incoming thread, this one coming thread, okay, indeed, we all want to live this way. So nobody can tell you that they were better than you, or that they were born innocent and you're more filthy and vile than they are. It said in the above, just like the rest of mankind. Hey, it says the greatest disasters become the greatest masters. This applies to every human being except Jesus. He's the only one exempt. So anyone who starts to try to accuse you, beware of these tactics, the people who keep bringing up your past. That's exactly what Satan does. That's what the narcissist does. They don't want you to bring up their past, but they want to bring up your past. And when people start bringing up your past and you say, get thee behind me, Satan, because that's the only one that will tell you about your past. Somebody who's influenced by Satan will be the accuser of the brethren. He'll bring up who your old person was. That person is dead. Why are we talking about that? And then also, so the first tactic, people who bring up your past, right? Who want to accuse you that you're vile and worse than they were. So also, those people who try and get you to prove yourself to them, or get you to do obstacle courses, whether it's emotionally or financially, or proving that you love them or that you're talented enough, or, you know, to spend your time and money or whatever on them to prove that you are worthy of being in their presence. Those are all tricks. That's garbage, human being, okay? Human beings, if you and I are sitting together and I like your company and you like mine, I mean, if we're just not doing anything or just drinking water or just sitting and watching children play in a park or watching some swans swim on the lake, we don't need to jump through hoops. If you like me and I like you, not much is necessary. Stop letting people play games with you. So after Jesus fasted, Satan came to him and tried to play these little narcissistic tricks. So just remember, narcissist, came from the original art narcissist, which is Satan. So it's always the same pattern, okay? So when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and he said, "It was written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And the same thing today, okay? You don't be led around by your stomach, all right? You don't let people who are, hey, come and have a, nice dinner with me. If you don't like them, don't eat with them. Anytime you sit down and have dinner with somebody, that's a covenant. If you don't like a man, don't let him take you to dinner. I don't care how hungry you are. Let God be your provider, okay? Let's go to number two. So now, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." So Jesus said unto him again, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Now you should always be doing what Jesus is doing. When people come to you and they start spewing nonsense and lies, trying to make you bow to them, prove yourself to them, you don't have to say it out loud, but you could definitely say it underneath your breath. The blood of Jesus, the God who made me, is the only God who's I have to prove myself to. So Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." You do just like Jesus did. People start spewing nonsense at you. The word. This is why it's very important to memorize scripture. 3. The devil came after Jesus 3 times. You think he's not going to keep coming after you? Yeah, he does. And he'll come through people who are close to you. Your family, your loved one, your children, your parents. Things that you want, some other human being that you have a crush or you're enamored with or your supervisor, okay? Beware. Be subjugated to any human being. You belong to God. So again, the devil taketh him up into the exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him. So the narcissist wants your worship. Your job wants your worship. He wants you to be fearful of money. So if you're worshiping your job and your supervisor, then you'll do whatever they tell you to do, even though you have conviction not to do it. And that was Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 through 11 in the King James Version. And that's how Jesus answered Satan when Satan tried to make him lead with his stomach because he was hungry. Tried to tell him, "Prove who you are to me. Jump off of there. Let's see if you're really the Son of God and see if these angels will catch you." And then he says, "Hey, if you will worship me, I'll give all this stuff to you." Now, he does have the ability to give it because Jesus would have known he was lying, right? But Adam gave the world system over to Satan. And so now Satan is trying to offer back what he deceptively took from Adam, which Jesus came on this earth to give back to us. In this world, you're going to have to be authentic. If you try to prove yourself to the world's way, "I'll give you all the kingdom," what are you really supposed to be doing? You're really supposed to be doing what God sent you here for, not what mankind wants to pervert you to be, okay? Ask how much that is worth, where you end up. Ask Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, Judy Garland, Anna Nicole Smith. Just talented people, and just Selena, right? Ask any porn star, male or female. This world doesn't have anything to offer you. If God gave you a talent, then you give your talent to him. And the flesh wants you to be a slave to your stomach, wants you to be a slave to your sexual appetites, to your emotions, wants you to curse people out, wants you to be a slave to I need to look pretty a certain way so people will accept me. The devil, to worship Satan or to worship humans or to worship human ways, it's all the devil. The narcissist also wants your worship. They want you to feel threatened. They want you to live in fear. So how do we deal with people who are narcissistic, who are doing all these things, are trying to make, they're pressuring us with the world, the flesh, and the devil, all right? They're trying to make the world kind of close in on us, okay? Now, the narcissist is wounded. They're blind witches, and they're acting like porcupines. I mean, they're not really happy. Anybody tries to hug them, you know, porcupine shoots out its quill. So the narc, the narcissist, is both mean, arrogant, they're bully, but they also pretend to be helpless and wounded child. However, both of these traits are just tools, right? They know what they're doing. They think they know why they're doing it, but I just told you earlier why they're doing it. They are oppressed, sometimes possessed by Satan. And here's the thing. We deal with spiritual reality according to how God says the spiritual reality is. So not human psychiatry or books like that. The narcissist is a snake, a donkey, and a fluffy bunny at the same time. All three of those. Can you picture that? You know, they're a snake. They're just slithery. They're a donkey. They want to kick you in the head with their hind feet. Donkeys are extremely strong. They can be, you know, funny and charming donkeys. And then they can be a little fluffy bunny, just so, you know, vulnerable. But don't fall for the trick where you go to help the fluffy bunny get unstuck out of the claw trap. And then all of a sudden you get kicked in the head by the donkey, dead. And just in case you weren't dead by the donkey's kick to your head, the snake part of them just bite you. They ruin your reputation. They poison your reputation. They tell everybody stuff about you that you told them in private, that when you thought that they were your friends. So don't fall for that trick. So when we go to Job 22 verse 28, because remember, we're still dealing with the principle, I would not do that if I were you. So we're dealing with the narcissist. We're dealing with the people who are influenced by the devil. You might not watch all the videos to find out whether this person is a narcissist, but you know something is wrong, all right? That you are drained by this person, that they are a vampire, something about them, you just don't want to be around them. So Job 22 verse 28 in the King James says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. So taking back your crown is real. You need to decree when shenanigans start going on, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. There's different versions. Read the Amplified and read the Message. How do we please God when we're attacked in our sleep, sometimes by whole covens or people in our family or witches, co-workers, supervisors, siblings, parents, playing mind games with us, sometimes outright sexually abusing us, molesting us, financially maybe taking our money, right? Kicking you out of the house. And, you know, a lot of people ask God, how can you let this happen? Well, I'm going to ask you in return, how do you let this happen? God gave us the authority on this earth. And if you don't open up your mouth and decree and declare a thing, if you don't take authority over that situation with a narcissist, then you don't really have a right to complain about it. So we're going to wrap up this podcast right now. Do you know how hard human beings who work for the kingdom of darkness work? How hard witches, warlocks, people who are in Masonic and Eastern Star things, and people who are actual vampires, people who do Wiccan, the Druids, all those different names, those people in the orange robes who call themselves Dalai Lama, they work very hard at their craft too. So a lot of these people pay with their life. They have to sacrifice the life of a loved one. Some of them have gone for 2 years only eating raw fruits and vegetables, you know, and that's a fast. That's fasting for 2 years, eating raw food. And you won't even fast from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I'm not just a spiritual Harriet Tubman. I'm an ambassador from heaven. I'm other things. And I can't announce everything to you that I am, because that's not, everything is not for everyone to know. Sometimes things are just between you and your maker. But if you don't want to get free, I can't teach you to fight in battle. If you don't want to do the work, no one can complete that for you. That part of freedom and power is in your court. That's up to you. That is in your hand. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, King James says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them." The Passion Translation says, "For their minds have been blinded by the God of this age, leaving them in unbelief. Their blindness keeps them from seeing the day spring light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the divine image of God." So the God of this age has blinded them, using trickery, deceit, accusations, and slander to blind people's heart. You are also the divine image of God. Now, when you say, "I would not do that if I were you," it speaks to the human being being used, either knowingly or unknowingly, whether they volunteered for the cruel role of narcissist or not. They can't get freed from the spider's web they wove around their own hearts and their family and their loved ones. When we say, "I would not do that if I were you," it is based on Isaiah 5, chapter 5, verse 20. It's based on Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 in the King James. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Narcissists love to turn lies into fake truth. They like to play dumb, cry when they're cornered. They like to smirk, say deadly things you would never let an enemy say to you. They like to play stupid, blame you for misunderstanding, even though the words they spoke, it's not just a decision. You can't win in a discussion with a narcissist. Silence is the answer, and God's word is a flaming sword to make it sting, so they stop stalking you verbally, emotionally, and in all their other demonic tricks. "I would not do that if I were you." Okay? And that goes back to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. So once again, "Woe unto them that call evil good, good evil, put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We serve a God of truth. And when we're dealing with people who are not dealing with truth, then we have the right to once again cleanse ourselves before you leave the house, put on the full armor of God, and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. You should have memorized Luke 10:19 by now. And you should know how to say to people, "I would not do that if I were you." You don't have to curse people out. You speak God's word. You speak this principle. And once again, remember this principle. When you say, "I would not do that if I were you," it's like a Moses principle. It parts the Red Sea. It lets the demon controlling that human being know, "I know who you are, and I'm going to use my spiritual reality to conquer you." And then you use some of the other tools too. You start fasting, speaking in tongues. You start to sing spiritual songs that actually have scripture in it. Memorize Luke 10:19. Memorize Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Memorize Psalms 35, Psalms 91. Use all those tools. Start speaking Psalm 35 at noon. Wake up at midnight and read Psalm 2 and Psalm 91. Use the tools God gave you to use. Begin to win. Stop whining and begin to take the fight to the enemy. Make him back down for once and for all. You're strong enough now to use the tools that I've been teaching you to use. I love you so much. Shalom, shalom. This is your spiritual Harriet Tubman and the Holy Spirit. We love you so much. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Mwah. So, Real Royal Family, this is Valerie Superval. So, I have to take a 3-week hiatus. There is a special licensing that I have to get, I have to study for, I have to pass it the first time in the name of Jesus. So, take this opportunity as a time for independent study. Go back to therealroyalfamily.com. Download the game board. Do what it says. Do the fast. Read Releasing the Blood in the morning. Read Releasing the Power of the Blood in the evening. Get the book Command the Morning by Dr. Daniel Olukoya. Start waking up at midnight and doing that warfare. Do it. It'll take you some time. Sometimes you might wake up. Sometimes your alarm might not ring. You might have to set 2 alarms because when you start bringing pain to the other kingdom, they're going to start messing with you. You have to make sure you eat right. You have to make sure you go to bed on time. 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, wake up at midnight. Read the book, read the prayers, start bringing pain to the other side. People who have done what I have directed them to do and have been practicing the things that I teach, they have been getting miracles. I have been seeing miracles in my life, and you can have the same thing too. But if you don't do the work, you can't get the results. Your life is full of all the consequences of things you've done and things you haven't done. Time to turn the table and start bringing pain to the other side. People do not stop. Spirits do not stop until you begin to bring them pain. Let's use our supernatural weapons and start to cut them in the mighty name of Jesus. Take back your crown. Shalom, shalom. And I will see you in 3 weeks.
If you say you love Jesus, roll with him now. All the shots in the world ain't gone, then it's crown. He put the power in your hands, power in your words. It's dominated with the greatest Lord, praise him first. We are soldiers of Jesus, huh?